since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in his ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of his world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
That was wonderful, Reagan. And now we're going to say together the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Reagan did a great job. And Reagan, you can return to your seat. Now, I want to keep you up here with me, actually, but I'll let you return to your seat. You have such a beautiful smile, and you did a great job of reading that scripture. Today is Family First Sunday, and for those of you who may be new to Pittman Park, let me tell you that we try to make this service particularly connected with the families and especially the children that are present in the sanctuary. You'll pick up on this, that we are expecting not only the children to relate and interact during the sermon, but also for all of those who have childlike hearts, which I hope that includes everybody here. Jesus said you can't enter into heaven unless you do so with the mind of a child, right? And so as we come together in this place, we are all the children of God on this day. Do you know anyone who is really smart with numbers? Now, you may be that person. Not me. I'm not that person. But you may know somebody who really, really likes numbers. Some people don't even need to use a calculator or a computer. They can just do math in their head. If you give them numbers to add up or numbers to multiply or numbers to divide, they can just tell you like that what the answer is. It's incredible to me that some people can do that. There was a kid who lived 400 years ago in the country of France, and he was like that. He was very smart, and his name was Blaise Pascal. Numbers. He loved them. He got up thinking about them. He went through his day thinking about them. He went to sleep at night. I bet he dreamed about numbers. He loved numbers. Numbers. All over the place. You can barely read it up here on this wall. But did you know that this is a special number triangle that he came up with? And if you look closely at it, you see that it gets more confusing the further it goes down. But it made sense to him. With every level, there is a new mathematical calculation of what those numbers mean. And guess what? This is only the top little section of his triangle. He was absolutely brilliant when it came to numbers. This was called Pascal's triangle. When he was a teenager, guess what he did? He invented the first computer. Can you believe it? Especially because they didn't have electricity back then. But it was a computer that added numbers. I haven't even seen a picture of it, but I have a feeling that it was more complicated than anything I could have ever thought up. It added and it subtracted numbers. What a beautiful thing it is to be an inventor, and how people were amazed at what Blaise Pascal could do. Did you know that he invented the wristwatch? Wow! Let me tell you one other thing that he invented. He invented the syringe. Raise your hand if you know what a syringe is. Some of you do. And children are thinking to themselves, I think I've heard that word before. Have you ever been to the doctor's office and gotten a shot? You'll probably think, I don't like that man that invented that. But he's the one that invented the syringe. It's fascinating to think about it. I tell you, he was really smart. What was his name? That's right, Blaise Pascal. Now say it three times real fast, and I bet you'll never forget it. Say it. That was sort of a trick. It's hard to say, isn't it? It's hard to say that name really fast. I think one of the reasons that Blaise was so smart was because he never got tired of asking questions. Did you know that almost every kid goes through something that parents call the why phase? If you've ever been a parent, you know that phase. It usually happens when a child turns maybe 3 years old and they start asking questions about why things are the way they are. If you are a parent and have witness this, raise your hand right now. Oh, it's commonly known. It is interesting that it seems to be normal when this happens in toddlers. They have all kinds of questions. They come up with crazy questions. Why can't I have ice cream for breakfast? Why can't the dog sleep with me? Now, some parents will say because he's sleeping with us. But why do I have to eat my peas? Have you ever said that or heard that? Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why is dirt dirty? You know, you got the idea, don't you? Why question after why question? And it's important to ask why. But I will tell you this, it drives most adults crazy when those questions come over and over again. But children, look at me for just a second, okay? Look at me for just a second here. Don't stop asking why. That's the way you learn about the world that is around you. Blaise Pascal was really good at why. But guess what? That's not the only reason we're talking about him today. He was really smart, but there was something more that was important about him. Blaise wanted to help people who didn't believe in Jesus. It's interesting that one of the smartest men that has ever lived believed in Jesus and wanted to share the truth of Jesus with others. Sometimes people get so smart that they begin to get confused. Maybe you've met somebody like that before. Some very smart people think that it's easier just to not think about God at all. Isn't that sad? That's incredibly sad. Blaise not only had a good head, guess what else he had? He had a really, really good heart. Blaise, he grew up in church, but guess what? It took a long time before finally he let God totally into his life. He was 31 years old, and he was going to sleep one night when God really touched his heart and when he knew that all of this was so very real. In fact, he got up after he had this experience. He got up and he wrote down what had happened to him. And these are the words that he wrote. From about 10:30 in the evening to about 12:30 at night, fire! That's what he wrote. Fire! God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and not of the philosophers and savants. Those are the really smart people. Not the people that think they've got it all figured out. Not of the philosophers and savants. Certitude, feeling, joy, peace. These are the words that he wrote down. He carried that piece of paper with him the rest of his life. In fact, you know what he did with it? Because he didn't want to lose it. He sewed it to the inside of his jacket. And in fact, it was after he died that someone found that there and they realized just how important that experience had been to him. Isn't that incredible? That God would come and make himself so real and so known. But that's who God is. And that's what God so much wants. From that day on, he was eager to tell people about Jesus. You know, we all should be telling people about Jesus. Is there anybody that agrees with me on that? We don't have to shout, but we do need to share. We do need to share. In fact, sometimes the best way is just to talk about what is in your heart. I am often intimidated to come and to preach from this pulpit, knowing the many good preachers that have preached from this pulpit prior to me, and especially one person who stood in this pulpit just about 50 years ago. His name was E. Stanley Jones, and he had been invited to preach at Pittman Park United Methodist Church, this very famous missionary to India. And E. Stanley Jones was a remarkable man with such a story, and he loved all people. How can you not love people if God is in your heart, right? God is love. And E. Stanley Jones loved people. There was a very famous reformer and leader in India whose name was Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi. And guess what? E. Stanley Jones was one of his best friends. E. Stanley Jones loved Mahatma Gandhi, and Gandhi loved E. Stanley Jones. In fact, when Gandhi died, guess what? His family gave permission only to one person to write his biography. And guess who that was? That good Methodist preacher, E. Stanley Jones. I have a feeling that E. Stanley Jones talked with Gandhi a lot about Jesus. And there was a connection that they had in life because of it. I remember reading a story about how one man who wasn't Christian, he went to hear E. Stanley Jones preach. And he said, after I heard him preach, I went back to my home, but I couldn't go to sleep that night. I was thinking about what E. Stanley Jones had said, and he said, my first thought, he said, was, I just don't believe that God loves in the way that E. Stanley Jones was talking about God loving, forgiving sins, and making all love equal for the world. He said to himself, this can't be true that God loves in this way. But he said, I stayed awake. And he said, I began to think to myself, if it's not true, it ought to be true. It ought to be true. And he said, I still could not get to sleep. But finally, he said, it came to me, it is true. And that man has been talking about Jesus ever since. What an incredible thing it is to tell someone else about Jesus. Now let's stop right here for just a moment, because this sermon is not about Blaise Pascal, is it? It's not just about E. Stanley Jones, is it? Who is this sermon about? Who is it about? Y'all will get it soon. Yes, it is about Jesus. Someone speak the name with me. It is about Jesus. What a wonderful thing to share his name with the world. For we whose hearts are blessed to overflowing with fire, what a wonderful thing it is to share who is the originator, who sparked the fire in our hearts. This passage of Scripture, this reflection from the Apostle Paul says, therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. Have you lost heart? This is important for us. He goes on to say, for we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Do you remember that people asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was? Do y'all remember that, children? Especially, I want you to think about this for just a moment, because it was almost like a trick question. If they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus might have been thinking about Moses and the Ten Commandments. But this question that they asked, every child in the entire city knew the answer to. If I were to ask you, what is the greatest commandment? Could you tell me? Is there anybody that could tell me that? Let's say it together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Let's say it one more time. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. In fact, on every doorway, there was a little place where they would put those words. And when a child walked through the door, you know what he had to do? He would say to his mother or daddy, pick me up. And they would both touch that before they would go in and before they would come out. They would touch that to remember that verse. What a beautiful verse it is. And so I've got a question for you. Why? Do I sound like a 3-year-old? Why is that verse so important? Did somebody say something? Because it is about love. It's all about love. It is. And so we have a choice here, don't we? Because this is the fire that helps us share the love of Jesus with everyone. Will you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? I think that you will.